Speaking of God's love and forgiveness, here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
He loves you. He's got a plan for your life, but you're outside the plan right now because you're just not walking in agreement, not walking hand in hand together. The relationship is a little, maybe it's a lot skewed. It's messed up. You got to get back to your first love. Repent. Turn. Cry out. He will forgive.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Forgiveness, love, a plan, and a purpose. These are essential for life. Thankfully, they are available. But only found in one place and pictured for us in Solomon's temple and his dedication prayer. As we continue in 2 Chronicles on today's Sound Doctrine, we'll learn more about these life essentials. And now, with more on what God is like from 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 23, here's Pastor Jeff.
Then hear thou from heaven. Notice, he's in heaven, and his presence is in the temple. That's God. He's everywhere. He hangs out everywhere because he's God. Omnipresent, everywhere present. He's everywhere. Hear from heaven and do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his head. He's sharing here that whatever a man sows, he's going to what? He's going to reap. It comes back. Whatever goes around, comes around. So as Christians, we know this is a law of God. And it's like the law of, aerodynamics. It's like the law of what goes down, goes down. And if you jump out of a three-story building, you're gonna splat. And we respect the law of gravity, right? So the only thing that's going to supersede the law of gravity is the law of aerodynamics. That's when a plane takes off. Interesting. But we respect that law. What about God's law of sowing and reaping? Whether you are a Christian or not a Christian tonight, it holds true for everyone in this world. That's just the law of God. If you sow beautiful things and sow in your life, you know, giving and it just following the word, you're going to reap those things. You're going to be blessed by God. If you sow to the flesh, the Bible makes it very clear, you're going to reap corruption in your life. If you're going to do the drug thing, if you're going to do the sex thing, if you're going to do the porn thing, whatever in the flesh, you will reap corruption. It will eat at you like a cancer, and it'll destroy you eventually until you repent. Until you say, God, I'm sorry, I'm getting rid of that computer. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn away from it, and I'm not going to touch it. So verse 23, hear thou from heaven, and requite the wicked. And verse 24, and if thy people, Israel, put to the worst before the enemy. So he's including everything. There's different things that go on. Now, if Israel really is not doing well and have sinned against the Lord, and you allow the enemy to come up because they have sinned against thee, and Lord, help us that we'll return, he's saying, verse 24, confess thy name. Notice, the term return is repent. That's what repentance means. It means make an 180, turn away and go towards God. That's repentance. Confess his name. Pray, he says, and make supplication. And just say, God, forgive me before thee in this house. So it was a place of restoration. It was a place of, over in Hebrews 10:25, it says it best. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake yourselves gathering together as the manner of some is. We need to be here. We need to be here often. You say, well, why is that? Well, some aren't here with us, but we need to exhort one another. That's what happens here. And so much more as you see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. Hebrews 10:25. We need to be in fellowship consistently, steadfastly, seeking the apostles' doctrine, prayer, the reading of the word, fellowship, communion. We need to be consistent. That's what kept them safe. And that's what the Lord is saying to the people here. Get with it. And then he says in verse 25, then hear thou, once we confess and we repent and we pray, you hear from heaven. Constantly he's saying, you hear from heaven. That's an interesting statement. You hear from heaven and bring them again to the land. Bring them back. If they've backslid, if they've drifted away from the promises, bring them back. Let them enjoy the goodness and the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes we got to say, come on back. Get into the place of prayer. Come on back to church, man. You've been out there for so long. I'm sure you're finding yourself doing things you thought you'd never do again as you're hanging out with the cool guys and stuff and whatever. It's pulling on you. There's allurement to this modern-day Egypt that sucks many away from the word of the Lord, from the presence of God, from the promises of God. Because, you know, it looks good, but it's a mirage. It's there just to rip you off. He's there to just lead you astray. So this is what he's talking about. Get back, get back. Verse 26, and the heaven is shut up. All of a sudden, there's no rain. Uh-oh, there's a sign. Uh-oh, I think there's trouble. I mean, it's probably us. And, you know, they're pointing at a lot of things. Well, what about this? Well, it's the weather. It's the economy. No, no, no. When you're pointing at all these things, there's three fingers coming right back at you. Maybe it's because you have sinned. There's a desert in your heart. There's a dryness in your life. It's because you have drifted that you don't sense the presence like you used to. You just don't go to prayer that much. You don't really have the desire. What is that? How come you've lost the passion and the love that you had years ago? He was your first love. You loved no one else. You only cared about your relationship with him and him with you and whatever he would bring your way. And you wanted it to grow. You wanted it to get hotter and hotter. And he's going, I want you to be either hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. Don't walk that walk. He says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. All of a sudden, here's the heavens shut up. There's no rain. There's drought. And they have sinned, it says, against thee. And if they pray toward this place, that's interesting. Praying towards the place of sacrifice, the place of the presence of the Lord, and confess thy name and turn from their sin. There's that word turn. Repentance. When thou dost afflict them. Interesting scripture in Hebrews 12:11. In Hebrews 12, in verse 11, he says, now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it, after the spanking, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. But you know you're loved when you're spanked by the Lord and he goes after you. Because you've been messing around, you're under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and rightly so, because you've been playing games. And so he busts us and he tries to shine the light on it. He brings us to a place like this where maybe some of you haven't been here for a while, and then all of a sudden all this stuff is going on in your heart. All of a sudden you're feeling the conviction of the Lord. That's good. That's healthy. You're still feeling, you're still sensing, I got to repent, man. I got to get back with the Lord. That's a healthy thing. And he's luring you. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life, but you're outside the plan right now because you're just not walking in agreement. You're not walking hand in hand together. The relationship is a little, maybe it's a lot skewed It's messed up. You got to get back to your first love. Repent. Turn. Cry out. He will forgive. Notice verse 27. He'll hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk. This is the good way. This is the awesome way to walk with the Lord, to walk according to his word. And then he says, and then send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. Listen, my children, says the Lord, trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Be a good kid. Just say, okay, Dad, you got me. I'm yours. I understand. You're coming through, and I'm ready. Then the rain, oh, the rain of the Lord. He'll rain upon you of his Holy Spirit and of his power. Send rain, Lord. Verse 28, if there be a dearth, famine in the land, and pestilence, if there be blasting, oh, the wind today, blasting heat. Did you go out in it? Did you enjoy it? Wasn't it pleasant? Wasn't it just beautiful? No. And look what it's doing to the fires and to the homes and to the lives that are being shattered. Man, it's a wake-up call. And then he says, in the locust, the mildew. Oh, the mildew. Oh, hey, the locusts. They would swarm. I've seen the swarms. They come over a crop and it's gone. In a moment, it's gone. And you're devastated. You have nothing left. It destroys the corn. It destroys the wheat. Everything is gone. If their enemies, notice, besiege them in the cities of their land. And this is just a prayer he's throwing out to the Lord. Whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be. These are all attention getters. You know, like, hello, McFly. Hello. You're not getting it? Well, look at this, and then look at that, and oh, yeah, nothing's going my way. Nothing. Everything I try to do is falling apart. It's not happening. Wake up call. Have you had enough? You ready to call Father? Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm tired of hitting the wall. I'm tired of trying to figure it all out. I'm confused. I'm tired. I'm hot. Ugh. I need you. Hear my cry, O Lord. And he'll put his arms around you. And he'll forgive you. And he'll bring you into his presence. And he'll begin to bless you like never before. That's our God. He's full of mercy and full of grace. Notice 29. Then the prayer of what the supplication soever shall be made of any man or all the people, all thy people Israel, and every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house. In other words, if you call upon the Lord, he will save you, he will deliver you. But you gotta let it go. And you gotta be willing to humble yourself. Then hear thou from heaven in thy dwelling place and forgive. When he says forgive, it's forgiveness for sin. And render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. Does he know us? Hey, he's named the hairs, the few I have left, on my head. And they're going quick. And there goes Jim, Bob, and Betty just fell off of me, you know. I don't know what he names our hairs, but it's probably Hebrew. But he knows every hair on your head. Does he know you? Does he know me? Intimately. He's God. So, according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. All things are naked before whom we deal with. You're naked before God tonight. He sees everything. And he knows what's going on. I mean, he's just saying, come on, be honest. Quit trying to shove it down and say it's okay. No, I can make it through this one. And we try to make it. Well, they're all seeking to bring us to that place of submission, of rest, of letting it go and letting God. So, verse 31, that they may fear thee. There's the key. The reverence of God. That once you come, once you sense, once you experience God's goodness. Did you know that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? God is so good that when you're the worst and you're cussing him out and you're going through it and everything, he just is loving you. He goes, stop it. You know, no, I just love you. And how do you fight something like that? You can't. After a while, you just let go, man. You go, okay. And you just say, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm coming home. Look at verse 31, and that they would fear thee to walk in thy way. So if I reverence God, if I really take this relationship with God seriously, I'm going to get in his word and let the word get in me. I'm going to underline my Bible. I'm going to know what he says, where he says it. So when someone asks me, I can turn there and say, it's right here. When's the last time you bought a Bible? Oh, I've had this all the 50 years I've been a Christian. You ain't using it. Your Bible should be shredded. You should be looking for another one. I mean, have you ever seen a gambler, you know, with his cards? They only last a week or so, and he's got to get rid of them, get a new deck. But does he know those cards? You bet. Come on, get into it. Mark your Bibles. Put notes down. Know where it is. I remember when I was a young Christian, I was saying, it's on this side, on the left-hand corner. I know it's here, you know. And yeah, there it is, and I underlined it. See, you're getting to know the word of the Lord. And you know, if you know him, the more you get to know him, the more you're going to love him. The more you get into the word, this is the love letter, and it's his love letter to each of us, the more you're going to fall in love with him. You're going to say, oh God, you love us so much. Look what he did with these people. Look what he did here. And look at how patient and long-suffering he was. Oh, what a loving father. What a forgiving God. I love that scripture in Micah, if you want to just write it down. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. In fact, we made it into a song. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Love it. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God requires. And if we'll just say, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to walk in the reverence and the fear of my God. Because what God says, he means, and what he means, he says. And he's serious. He's seriously in love with us. You're going, what? Me? No way. I know my heart. You know, he's seriously in love. And he wants to change our hearts. He wants to conform us into his image by the power of the Holy Spirit. He loves to do that kind of stuff. So, verse 32, moreover, concerning the stranger. Ah, this is interesting. The stranger? Yeah, somebody who's not from us. Way out there, and they come in, and they're strangers, which is not of thy people Israel, but has come from a far country. For thy great name's sake, for the sake of the Lord, and thy mighty hand, and thy outstretched arm, if they come, pray in this house. Notice, I mean, we're talking about the Jews reaching out. The Jews being evangelists. That the temple of the Lord is for not just the Jews, not just for them to enjoy his presence. It's for the stranger. It's for those that know nothing. They can come, and they can come into God's presence and his promises also. Notice, for thy great name's sake. They hear. You see, the heathen are hearing things about us. They hear it all the time. Did you see that corner place over there, that on Woodruff and Imperial? What's all those cars doing over there? It's killing me. Every time I go by, there's all these cars out there. And even on a Tuesday night, the place is packed. What's up? I got to go look. And they hear and they see. And just your testimony, as you're in the highways and byways, you're in the marketplace, you are a testimony. You're evangelistic as your life is in Christ. So they hear the testimony and they want to come to the house of the Lord. And verse 33, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all the stranger call. So strangers can call on him. Oh, you don't know the Lord? You can call on the Lord right now and you can know him. I'll help you. I'll just say this prayer after me and I'll help you. You can call on him and he'll hear your prayer and you will be transformed. You will be converted. Because that's the promise of God. As many as received him, he gives you the power to become the children of God. To invite him into your tent. Such as it is. Wasted and freaked out. And you've been not treating it well. But he comes in and he does house cleaning. The spray he has is called the Holy Spirit spray. It is so strong. Takes every blemish. Every spot out, even the tough ones. And he does a cleansing of our hearts and of our soul. So when the stranger calls to thee, for that all people of the earth may know thy name. Look at God's saying, go tell them. Go be a witness. Because this is for everybody. It's not just for those Christians. You know, I mean, how many here were really, honestly raised in a Christian family? Very few, probably. The rest of us, we came from the gutter most. We came out of the muck and mire of this world, crawled up, and just cried out. And he took us, and he stood us up, and he cleansed us. And he says, now, I'm going to make you a testimony. I'm going to put a new song in your heart, even praise unto God. Many shall see it. And will fear the Lord. Man, that person, I knew that person before, and now after. What happened? What happened, man? Who did that to you? Did they do that to you? Oh, no! And they're freaked out. Because it is such a powerful, dramatic change. And so notice all the people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee again. And fear thee. Over in Mark chapter 11, verse 17. Mark 11, 17. He says, and this is Jesus speaking. He's in the temple and he's upset with them and he's going to deal with them. But he says, hey, is it not written, my house, you know, shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. You've corrupted the house of the Lord. How many people have corrupted their bodies? Which God says, I want to be my temple. I want to come and live inside of you. But first you have to invite me in, and then I'll do the cleansing from inside out.
Well, indeed he will. And we'll hear about what our gracious and loving Lord will do next time on Sound Doctrine, when our teacher, Pastor Jeff Johnson, returns to 2 Chronicles. Remember, you can access these daily studies by visiting our website. Log on to sounddoctrineradio.org. To purchase the CD, call 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. Hey, are you looking for some good summertime reading? Maybe for that vacation that you've got planned? Allow me to recommend The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. It's a good one. Penned on a train from Illinois to Texas, this is just what you need to hear if you're longing for a deeper experience with God. This devotional masterpiece is really an invitation to think deeply about your faith. This book is a modest attempt, Tozer wrote, to aid God's children so as to find Him. If you're hungry, the pursuit of God will lead you to the only one who can satisfy the soul. Request it today for just $13 at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call 800-353-7553. And during these critical summer months, we would appreciate your support as we continue to present sound doctrine on this station of yours. We look to the Lord to provide. Maybe that provision will come through you. Again, go to sounddoctrineradio.org or call 800-353-7553. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine, a daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey and made possible through your generosity. So, Father,